Our scripture reading this evening is in 2 Timothy 3. Please turn there with me. We'll be looking particularly at verses 6 through 9. Let's begin our reading at verse 1. Let's remember that this is the Word of God. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And now our text, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. And now to finish the chapter. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God bless His Word read and His Word preached. There's a cult out there that goes door to door, and they call themselves, among other things, the Watchtower Society, and they call themselves Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. Well, they and others like them are described in these four verses. Sadly, they are Satan's fake witnesses. Let's look at several things we have here. The first is in verses 6 and 7, the foolish victims. Now let's see, first of all, how these false teachers, these fake witnesses, are characterized. We saw that the last time we were here. And do you remember we were looking in Sabbath school today at the nature of sin, and Dr. Sproul was talking in there on the video near the end how sin is often having to be described in negative ways. It's the opposite of that which is good and righteous and holy. And he was talking about people being ungodly and unrighteous and so on. Well, that's what we have here, don't we? He's talking about those who are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, that's the opposite of obedient, to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. And now we get into our text. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here we have the foolish victims of Satan's fake witnesses. We see in these two verses here one of the main vehicles and methods of the false teachers that's used even now. And this way of getting into the households of the godly has been around since Genesis 3. I want you to notice, Paul does not say that all women are gullible. He knows this very well. As a matter of fact, if we go back to 1 Timothy, in chapter 3, verse 11, he talks about the wives of men who are prospective deacons. And he knows there are godly women. Their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. It's just the opposite of these women here. Also, let's see that it isn't only women who are gullible. There are some men who are this way. But it does tend to be that often Satan, or one of his demons assigned to the case, will attack through the women. I've noted this so often with home mission work. It may not be that the wife of the church planter is anything but the kind of woman in 1 Timothy 3:11, but she will be attacked to get at the mission. Maybe not doctrinally. She may not go off into some weird thing. But what she does do is get sick, for example. Or she's attacked in some other way. And let me tell you, I pray often when a new man, particularly a young married man, perhaps just married, or not all that long ago getting married with little children, I not only pray for him, but I pray for his wife, for so often she is attacked. Because one of the best ways to get to a man is through the woman whom he is to protect and care for and love. One of the best ways to get him distracted from leading souls to Christ and building up the saints is have his wife under attack. Oh, I've seen it so many times. And so I pray not only for the church planters, but the wives of the leading men in the church plant too, because it sometimes comes through there. Sometimes, sadly, it happens that the wives of leaders are more like this here in 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 7, than the 1 Timothy 3:11 sort of woman. Let's remember, too, that Paul knew of particular godly women. Some names should come to mind real quickly. We should think, for example, of Priscilla, right? Of Lydia. We should think of someone like... Now my mind went blank, and this isn't in my notes. It's a terrible way to do things. Well, we could think in the scripture of Dorcas. We could think of the women disciples that attended to Jesus. They were the ones who were faithfully at the cross, it's noted. We can think of also Phoebe, whom Paul does mention, as a servant of the congregation in the Corinthian Presbytery. It's in Cenchrea. And she was sent to minister to the saints in Rome. So there are godly women, we know of them. In those professing to be believers, these were the gullible ones are thankfully in a great minority. But here is where Satan often gets an edge in. It's worked, as I say, since Genesis 3. What we had there was Eve going along with her feelings. She had a direct commandment from the Word of God. But instead, she listened to the word of Satan. And she took his bait and sinned even before she took the fruit by thinking she could be judge over the word of God versus the word of the serpent. She would sit as judge. She would sit as sovereign. And besides that, the fruit looked nice. And it was desirable to make her wise. So she took of it and ate it. It was then that Adam, with his eyes open, went in. He was not deceived. She was. He was not deceived. He sinned with his eyes wide open. Why did he listen to the word of his wife rather than the word of God? Well, I don't know that we can solve that mystery. But he was attacked through his wife, and it was his eating the forbidden fruit that gave us our sin nature. So anyway, Paul's word here is no indictment of all women. But there are many, too many, thankfully, no one here that I know of, who are this way, swayed by emotion, feelings, and desires like Eve long ago. This is the pattern even today with modern women. We have all too many who are of generations such as my own, the boomers, and ones that have followed the Gen X and Y and millennials and whatever, who will not go with Scripture. They will not go with Scripture. What will they go with? Well, they will go with the latest thing they read, like say, in People magazine, or the latest thing they see on The View, or the latest thing that they catch. Well, it used to be Oprah, but she's not as popular anymore, I guess. And on Ellen DeGeneres and other people like that. They will go with advice that they get from Cosmopolitan. They will go with what they hear from their friends and what they see people teaching through Pinterest or through Facebook or whatever. And nowadays, the false teachers don't even have to come to the door. They will come in through the magazine, they will come in through the book, they will come in through the TV, they will come in through the internet feed. And these, sadly, have a character ready to receive. They go by their feelings and emotion as opposed to obedience. And we read about them that they have some notion, some feeling of guilt. They're loaded down with sins, we read about them. And they are led around by their lusts. It may not be sexual lust, but it may be others as well. For example, Eve was apparently not led astray by sexual lust, but by her sense of the aesthetic, of the beautiful, and led aside by a desire to have some power and some wisdom, and by a desire to be over God Himself. She was led along by lusts, led along into sin and death. Often such women are constant seekers of self-improvement, and they will think that their life and lives of others will be improved by, oh, I don't know, you hear it all the time, and I don't want to indict anyone here, because I don't think anyone is controlled by that, but you know some women, some men, who are just consumed with having the perfect diet, and the perfect natural foods, and the perfect vitamins, and you've got to stay away from this food, and that food, and the other. You know of some who are consumed with newest psychological theories. You know those who are consumed by a desire for more and more consumer goods. and so on, and so on, and so on. These things never work for them because they're false gods ultimately. They never, never come to satisfaction because what they're relying upon is falsehood. They gain all kinds of knowledge about vitamins and nutrients. They learn all kinds of things about this and that and the other, but as we read here, they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've got a question. Where are the husbands and fathers in all this? We don't have many of you men here tonight. And as I've said, you women that are here tonight aren't the sort of women that Paul is talking about, thankfully. But men, and you men who are listening to me over the internet as well, protect your women. Don't be led about like a stupid steer being led into slaughter. Just like Adam and his sin. Don't let a false teacher worm his way into your home through the front door, through the television, through the radio, through the workplace, through printed material, through the internet, or even the pulpit. Know the Word of God, brothers, and apply the Word of God, brothers, particularly to your wife, to your daughters, the ones over whom God has set you as the loving head. Well, let's look at these false witnesses now. These ones who were especially talked about in the first five verses. We read in verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith." Now let's be aware of something. To my knowledge, it's never happened that a false teacher has come with a warning label. Okay? I've never seen someone walking into a church or into a home with a little name tag saying, "Hi, I'm a heretic." Just doing a little reading today, and I will tell you that every false teacher, no, take that back. Most false teachers honestly and sincerely think they're right. And they are doing you a service. I think of a young Air Force lieutenant, a young father and husband that was in my wood badge patrol several years ago in advanced adult training for Boy Scouts. He was with an organization that proudly calls itself the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And one night, he and I were sitting up talking a little bit, and he testified to me. He testified that he just knew in his heart that Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God. And he was just sure if I would check out the Book of Mormon and pray that God would give me light, I'd have that burning sensation in my heart that would indicate that too. Now this young Air Force lieutenant was sincere. He really was. This young Air Force lieutenant had a kindly motive. He wanted me to experience that which was good, as far as he could tell. He wanted me to be able to have my own little planet, eventually. He wanted me to be able to have a goddess for a wife. He wanted me to live among the stars. He wanted me to have all kinds of spiritual babies to inhabit this world who would worship me. He really believed. As far as I know, still does believe the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There wasn't anything on his Boy Scout uniform saying, I belong to a cult and I want you to too. It doesn't happen that way. Now, rather, they will call themselves Jehovah's Christian Witnesses or Latter-day Saints or such like. And this isn't new at all. Paul had some years earlier written to the people in Corinth. Actually, it's in the second letter that we still have that he writes to them. In chapter 11, let me read a few verses starting out in verse 1 and going to verse 4 first of all. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. Indeed, you do bear with me. For I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul is scared for these people in Corinth. Down the chapter in verse 13, for such, and he's talking about false teachers there. Again, they don't wear a name tag saying, hi, I'm your local false teacher. No, in verse 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. That is, they make themselves seem that way. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. And we might well put quotation marks around that phrase, whose end will be according to their works. False teachers about always look good. They seem to make some sense. But they're not in line with the Word of God. They may even do some interesting miracles or something of the sort. That was the appeal of the cult of Christian Science, and we'll put that in quotation marks. As some clever person has said, it's neither Christian nor scientific. But these people may have signs and wonders. They're like Jannes and Jambres. Now, you might say, who are those guys? Who are those guys? In Jewish tradition, they were the Egyptian sorcerers who withstood Jehovah through Moses and Aaron in Acts 7:10 all the way to Acts 8, verse 19. Well, but it doesn't say back in Exodus that that was their name. Well, since God has moved Paul to say that that was their name, that is their name. In any case, what do we know about them? Well, if you go to Exodus 7, starting in verse 10, go the rest of the chapter, go through Exodus chapter 8, all the way through to verse 19, you will see that several of the first miraculous signs and the plagues that God brought about through Moses, they were able to duplicate. They were able to stick their hand in their clothes and pull it out leprous, stick it back in again, and, well, it wasn't clean. They couldn't quite do like Moses and Aaron. And when Moses and Aaron threw down their rods, their staffs, and they turned into snakes, well, Jannes and Jambres could do that too. Well, Moses and Aaron's snakes ate up their snakes. And then with the first few plagues, they could do the same thing. But it came about that they couldn't anymore, and they said, this is the finger of God. We've been able to trick, perhaps, or we've actually been, by the power of Satan, able to duplicate, kind of, what they did before. And we have been able to say to Pharaoh, don't pay any attention to them. This is no big thing. We can do this too. Big, fat, hairy deal. As we read here in 2 Timothy 3:8, they resisted Moses. They resisted God himself. And the false teachers of Paul's day, the false teachers of our day do the same thing. They resist the truth. We present them with what the scriptures say, and they say, no, I like to think that this means. Or they will say, no, but we have more light through Mary Baker Eddy. Or they will say, no, we have more light from the teachings of the society. Or they will say, no, for we have another testament of Jesus Christ. And God continues to speak through the president of the church. We have the Book of Mormon. We have the Pearl of Great Price. We have the Doctrines and Covenants. And the president continues to speak as the mouthpiece of God himself. Say, for that matter, the Pope continues to speak, quote, ex cathedra, unquote. These false teachers have depraved minds to go along with their depraved lives that we saw in verses 1 through 5. God rejects them, and so must you. So must you, even though they claim to be the real Christians. So what's going to happen with these guys? Are they going to be able to pull the wool over everyone's eyes? There were false teachers in Paul's day, and they became very dangerous indeed after Paul's death. John was the last one left of all the apostles. And he had a terrible time resisting the wicked. The church was assailed by a flood of false teaching that came in, particularly of a sort called Gnosticism. I'm not going to go into it. There'll be other times. But it's very much like New Ageism today. But although the church was assailed, and though there were many who fell away, we find in verse 9 what was to happen to them. But they will progress no further, for their folly, it's another word for foolishness, children, will be manifest. That means it will show up to all, as theirs also was. It got to a point in the plagues in Egypt, where Jannes and Jambres had to say, well, we give up. We can't do this anymore. This isn't tricks anymore. This isn't the power of our gods anymore. This is the finger of God. It became obvious. It became manifest to them. What they had been doing was foolish. And others could see what they'd been doing was foolish. And so it is with these false teachers too. Their false teaching, whether we be, and I've been picking a lot on Mormons, I've been picking a lot on society, Watchtower Society people. There are other cults and other false teachings out there. In fact, we find them professing to be in true Christian churches. They will tell you, I've got better teaching that's in the Bible. I'm informed by modern critical theory. I am informed by modern scientific theory. I am informed by rationalist thought. I am informed by modern thought. I am informed by postmodern thought. And they may go on and on with different things, but they're still trying to lead you astray. They still may say, I've got a superior Christian witness. But they continue to be Satan's fake witnesses. For all their cleverness, though, clever teachings, clever tactics, lies, fables, pretty fables, but fables nonetheless. For all this, ultimately, they can't win. The Catholic Church, I don't mean Roman Catholic, by the way, the universal true church, the Catholic Church still stands. It was not overwhelmed by Gnosticism. The one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church still stands. The foolishness of these wicked teachers has and shall continue to be obvious ultimately. It will be manifest, very obvious. Because King Jesus continues to rule. He will not allow falsehood to win. Just like, brothers, you and I are to protect our bride, Jesus does so perfectly. You and I, brother, need to be doing so too, because you and I are commanded to love her, just like Christ loves his church. As Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Just how wicked and foolish these fake witnesses are shall be shown fully. Christ and his bride shall be fully vindicated, and his truth will be made obvious too. The lesson from this? Know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. You men should be knowing better and better the Word of God. You boys, someday, God willing, you will be married. Know the Word of God. Women, how are you going to avoid being gullible and foolish? How are you going to avoid committing the sin of our first mother? Know the Word of God. Girls, I hope someday you will be married and be moms. Know the Word of God. I've heard time and again, and I've used this illustration before, that people working in banks don't need to study counterfeit money, what it looks like, what it feels like, or anything of the sort. They don't need to study what the fake looks like and feels like. Why? Because they handle the real stuff all the time. And anything that seems a little weird, if it looks a little funny, or if it feels a little funny, they know it instantly. And they can turn it in and get the Secret Service off after the counterfeiters, the people who make fake money, children. Why? Because they know the real thing really well. When the fake shows up, they go, this is bad stuff. Know the real thing right here, children, the Bible. Know this really well. Know this, adults, really well. Then you won't have to rely upon someone with the name tag coming in. Then you won't be snookered. You won't be fooled by false teachers. You won't be taken in by Satan's fake witnesses. All their sincerity, and most of them have that. And all of their pretty stories, and all the things that they teach, you'll be able to say, but the Word of God says. Hold to it, the Word written, and the Word become flesh. Hold to Jesus Christ, and you will not be endangered by Satan's fake witnesses. Amen. Let's close up by singing from Psalm 119p. This starts out, we just had this like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. The men of double mind I hate. Thy law my love has stirred. Thou art my shield and hiding place. My hope is in thy word. This goes along so well with what we've looked at here in 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 9, may it be that we sing this as a prayer and as the thoughts of our heart. Let's stand to sing this and then receive God's blessing. Psalm 119, P.